Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. And Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and do not be afraid." And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, "Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Good evening. Peace be with you. Thank you. Last week, when we began our Lenten journey, our first Sunday of Lent, we focused on the humanity of Jesus, his human nature, as we saw Satan take him into the desert and to tempt him in the ways for which you and I are tempted, in the things that we desire from the world, that worldly fulfillment, that peace, and that overcoming the fear of death. Today, the church gives us the transfiguration of Jesus Christ so that we can meditate upon his divine nature, so that as we saw him tempted in the flesh, we could see the power and the beauty and the glory of who he is as the Son of God, the one for whom the Father is well pleased. So the transfiguration then challenges us to come to the realization that it is not enough for us in our earthly lives to believe in the Jesus who became like us, but in the hour of our death, to believe in the Jesus who wants us to become like him. It's not enough for our earthly journey to embrace the reality that the Word took on flesh so that he could enlighten us, that he could sustain us and feed us, forgive us, heal us, but to prepare for the greatest gift that he would give us, and that would be to transform us so that we must, in the hour of our death, prepare to be able to believe in him who wants us to become like him in perfection and glory. And in other words, we are challenged at the beginning of this Lenten journey through prayer, fasting, and almsgiving to not be content with being men and women of faith, but being transitioned into men and women of hope. And this is the message that I give at each and every funeral, because that transition is what allows us to be able to recognize what Peter, James, and John saw on the Mount of Transfiguration. That the Jesus that they came to love and to know and to trust in was far more. And that is whom they would die for, the glorified Christ. That is whom they would offer their lives to become saints in the church. So how do we enter into this concept of our reality, of our faith journey, our hope in Christ Jesus? It looks like this. One late night, not too long ago, I was here at night by myself, praying. And I was at that place in my prayer, and probably you're very familiar with it, and it is so consoling while you're here by yourself in this blessed place. It's the place where you're between prayer and sleep, and you're really not sure which. But yet at the same time, you're overwhelmed with that sense of God's presence. And I was sitting here, just sitting there, praying, when I heard someone walking into the church, and the person came and sat immediately behind me, in the pew behind me. And I just ignored the reality, for that's the reason the doors were open all night, until I heard the kneeler go down, and he knelt behind me and whispered in my ear, "Father, it's been 5 years since I took another man's life and assumed his identity to regain the trust of my family and to pull me out of a deep despair that was ultimately going to lead to my death at my own hand." At that moment, my heart grew cold and still with great fear. And then I, in my peripheral vision, could see he sat down once again, and I prepared to turn to him to speak to him, only imagining in my own mind that I was going to see this creature, this person, broken, disheveled from such a decision that he made. And as I turned to see who he was, it's not who I encountered. But yet it was a man full of peace and self-assurance. So I said to him, "So is this a confession of murder?" And he said, "No, Father, I did not murder the man, but my actions and my choices led to his death. But his death," he said, "gave me the opportunity to assume a new identity that has changed and transformed my life." You can only imagine that I had no clue what to say or even to imagine what was taking place that very evening. And then he leaned forward to me and he said, "You know that the identity that I had to assume was that of Christ. That his death gave me the opportunity to find a new life." He went on to say, "A life in him that I did not completely ever appreciate, as I allowed him to be the one who could heal me, to cure me, to forgive me, to teach me. It seemed as if it was never enough for my desire to gamble, to cheat, to lie, to steal, to drink. His example was not enough to bring me to any sense of peace. But he said, 5 years ago, around this time when we celebrate the gospel of the Transfiguration, I came to realize what Peter, James, and John came to know. That Jesus didn't come to take on flesh to become like us, simply for us to have a guide, but to guide us to become like him in the fullness of his glory and what we will become in heaven. He said, that is the identity that I assumed. It was in that life, in Christ, with Christ, for Christ, that my family regained their confidence in who I was, and the things of the world could not pull me away in any type of satisfaction, but only the desire to be what Christ wanted me to become, to share with him forever in heaven." That's what the Transfiguration looks like when it takes place in a man's life. First, in a broken heart, and then in a converted soul. He got up and left, and I sat there for a while, and after I left the church, I wasn't sure at all whether I experienced that physically or if it was just a part of my prayer. But I remember saying to myself, why do we forget about the transfiguration? Why is it so much easier to let Jesus just be our guide, our helper, our healer, our forgiver? Why are we so afraid to allow him to be our perfection and a gift of glory that we can assume and become like him? The Feast of the Transfiguration is sometime in August. We hear this gospel in the Lenten journey to remind us what we need more than ever is to experience the person, the divine, who wants us to become like him. So hidden from us, perhaps maybe in the commonness of our day, so hidden from us, from the lives for which we choose above the reality of his glory. It reminds us that this is our Mount of Transfiguration. That is, we look at bread, but yet it is the transfigured Christ in all his glory. He feeds us not only on his word to guide us in our earthly lives, but he feeds us on himself so that we can become like him, so that in the hour of our death, we'll have faith in the one who will call us into eternal life. So what should be our mission on this second Sunday of the Lenten season? What vision, what 2020 vision do we desire to have to follow the Lord? And it is that for which Peter, James, and John would come to understand. That nobody dies for the Jesus who became like us, but that we die for the one who calls us to become like him. For if he just took on flesh to teach us how to live in faith day in and day out, one trial after another, then how could we ever lay down that life in death and pick it up again whole and full into his eternal kingdom? So when you come forward to receive our Lord in the Eucharist today, when you're presented the host as the body of Christ, and when you bow and you make that throne to allow him to come into you, repeat the words of Peter. It is so good that we are here. Listen in your heart to the words of the Father. This is my beloved Son. And ask him to allow you that in his death, because of your own sins, an opportunity to assume a new identity, that of glory and that of the kingdom of God. And I promise I will do the same.